Now we are saying this, if you constantly pound the word of God into your heart, all those barriers are going to be shattered. And you'll come to a place where you're unstoppable. But it starts by saying, if you don't say anything, you will never believe what you are saying will happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Because it is what you believe that what you are saying, you believe what you are saying. So you started out by saying it. So you started by saying it. And it says, faith cometh by hearing, all right, and hearing the word of God. So you say to this mountain, be thou removed, which means your specific objective there, and be thou cast in the sea. And then the next says, and shall not doubt. So as you start saying it, you come to the point where you do not doubt. But you now believe at that point that what you are saying will come to pass. So you started saying it, but you got to the point where you believed. You know, second thing I wanted to say about it was this. And I was saying this about Sabel, and was telling us the story of how he, about 6 months ago, he had a stroke, all right, and half of his body could not move. He lost his entire memory. Couldn't even remember his wife. And so what happened was that he said, because he used to fly his plane, he used to go for regular checkups. But when he stopped flying, he missed out, so he didn't. So one day he was riding his bike in the hot sun at a rally. And by the time he got back, he felt uncomfortable. So he went for a checkup. And the doctor checked and said, how come you're alive? He said, what do you mean? He said, you should be dead. He said, what do you mean? He said, the major artery that carries blood to your brain, 90% blocked. So as you are, you should be dead. The doctor now said, we need to do something about this. He said, oh, so what do we do? He said, well, it's just a simple procedure. We'll clear the thing, 2 or 3 days in the hospital, and then you can go home. So he went for the operation. And then they did that, and it was so supposedly successful. And so they put him in the recovery room where the anesthesia and all of that was to get out. But he wasn't coming back. So after some time, the doctor went to meet his wife and said, I think your husband has had a stroke. And what happened was while they were doing the procedure, part of the thing went to the brain that they were supposed to remove and created a stroke. And so what that meant was that he couldn't move half of his body. He said he could not remember anybody, including his wife. He was just there on the bed, all right, and his wife told him later on, all he could say was yes, yes, yes. In fact, he told us that the day the doctor said, if he improves, all right, if he improves, we'll send him home. He said when he heard the doctor say that, he was trying to make sure that he, because he wanted to go home, feeling that once I get home, the faith around my house will get me back. He said it was his son-in-law that has this precious car, a 1967, very solid car. His son-in-law wanted to show that he has improved. He said, Dad, he said, yes. He said, you know, you told me you are going to give me this car when I get back. He said, no. I said, you see, all right, but, so the point there, I won't get into this. All right, it was blocked there. And he said that he could not recognize anybody, right? He was just looking. He said he was told that Kenneth Copeland came in after 2 days. And Copeland stood by his bed and preached the word of God for 2 hours. He did not pray. He was just preaching, preaching, preaching. I said, if you keep hearing, if you keep hearing, if you keep hearing, what we are talking about confession is you are preaching that thing to yourself. It's a form of meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law shall, he said, his wife told him that as Copeland started preaching, he started speaking in tongues. For those 2 hours, that's where the recovery started. Copeland didn't pray. He just started putting the word of God into his system. So if you start saying, and you do not doubt, but believe that those things you are saying will come to pass, you get to that point. That's what I want to get. All right? Then you shall have whatsoever you say. However, this is my message today. When you start declaring, at the back of our minds, we always have a way we figure out it will happen. Are you following what I'm saying? Which means you are saying it, you are saying it, you figured out how it will happen. My dear friends, I have good news for you. It won't happen that way. Now, I want to show you something. That plan you have must crash. Now, a lot of people, when that thing crashes or something happens that throws them off balance, what happens is they get offended. And then you have people saying things like, ah, you know, why did that happen? I believe God. Let's assume that somebody is in an office, working there, and, you know, the person maybe got laid off. And you have people say, but I paid my tithes. I did this. Why did it happen? Why did it happen? Now, I want to show you something here, which is at the foundation of our faith, without which, knowing this, no other practice will yield fruitfulness. We have to be established because this is the root of the message. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Once you get this, you're on your way to distinction. Hebrews 3 here and verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. Wherefore, which means to the end. So we're in a journey here. Wherefore the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. As in the provocation. So a time comes where you'll be provoked. Something will happen that will provoke you. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. So God says, you need to come to know the way, his ways, how he does things. And this is what I want to describe. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we can even be still brethren and be talking, and but something has happened, all right, that has brought a disconnect inside our heart to God. That evil heart, all right, it speaks that of unbelief in departing. Okay, so you start the declaration. We have this thing of saying, oh, to come this will happen and all of that. And then at the moment of intense provocation comes in our environment. The time of temptation. Jesus described it this way. He said that when the word is planted in one, he says, the sun came out and it was scorched. And the reason was that they had no root in themselves. Somewhere else now described that these are the trials and tribulation that come, all right, for the sake of the word. And many get offended, which means that if you don't have any root inside yourself, it manifests as offense in your heart. And this is where a lot of people stop in their faith walk, all right? And it's because we've not been properly taught. So we stop there because we are believing God for something, okay? And then something happens. It doesn't work out the way we thought it should work out. There is, you know, intense provocation, temptation. And then we get offended, all right, at that point, and there's a disconnect there, an evil heart of unbelief. Now, how do we deal with this? What really is God saying there? What's this root here? When he said they had no roots in themselves. This is what he said. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians and chapter 3 here. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in the heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, knowing that you are going to go through things. So the Spirit strengthens you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That in love there is grounded in the love that God has for you. Now, the root of this thing, the Bible says, why were they offended? They were offended because they didn't have any root in themselves. That root is they didn't have any knowledge there of how much God loves them. That if you have the knowledge of how much God loves you, you see, when things don't work the way you feel they should work, if you know that God loves you and he will not leave you, you will know God is up to something. Are you following what I'm saying here? And people stop at that point, all right, and don't experience the love of God. In other words, what happens is that something happens, we are believing, I know people get offended, and I say, well, you know, I believe for this, I believe for that, you know, and you know, and people start saying as though, you know, that's the same thing they said on the boat. When you see that what people question when they go through crisis is God's love. Yeah, Peter said, Jesus, wake up. Carest not thou that we perish? Which means, are you not concerned? Don't you care all right, for us. Same thing the nation of Israel did when they were going through the wilderness. It was they were questioning God's love. They said, look, you brought us to this wilderness to kill us. We want to go back to Egypt. In other words, our Egyptian masters loved us more than you love us. That look, if you are here, all right, that's why in Isaiah it says, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has left me. That's what people say. And God says, look, can a woman forsake her child that she will not have compassion upon the son of her womb? He said, understand this. No matter what happens, don't question my love for you. You are still in the game. Something is going to come out. Are you following what I'm saying here? It might not have worked the way your vision 2020 was, but something is going to come out. You understand what I'm saying here? That look, don't ever challenge or question my love. That there's something, if you follow through on that love, right? If that's the pathway, I want to show this here, you go with. He said, if you follow through, you are going to see something. So God says, look, don't question, all right, my love. All right, I heard Copeland say this. He said, you say, well, how do I come to know this love? He said, John gave us the clue. You know, the Bible records that John was the disciple that was loved by the Lord. Isn't that what it says? But if you read it, you'll find out it's only in John's account it is there. So it was John's confession of himself. Mark didn't say it. Luke didn't say it. John was the one that said, I am loved of God. I am the favorite of Jesus. He was saying it. And he kept saying it to himself until he manifested. That Peter went to meet him. Why don't you go and ask? Listen, what you are saying in the closet will show up. You understand it? That's what John was saying. So it's the consciousness of that love, all right, that God has for you as a person. I mean, I'm giving this example. I mean, when I was with Bishop Kibota, I said something. And sometimes, you know, when we have our plans, we have to be sensitive, look, to the Holy Spirit. And when I started with him, he said, have they told you? I said, that's a nice prophet you have. He said, have they told you that we got it? I said, no. He said, oh. He said, you know what happened? And he changed something in me forever. He said, you know, down the road, he said, we got a property. He said, about 2 years before we got here, he said, the property that we built a church. He said, after we built it, I was driving down the road and God said, go and buy this one. He said, God, why didn't you tell me before we built that we have no money, nothing, we've just finished building. You know when you finish something, you feel you should go and rest. You get what I'm saying? Now, we might miss God that I've just built everything. You, in your mind, you say, well, let's rest. He said, God said, that's why this is our vision, we should be careful, right? God said, go and buy. He said, that property, that is 110 acres, an old Catholic, all right, where monks and all of that used to be, the structure, the cathedral, the Catholic cathedral they had there won the gold medal in the 1932 Olympics, all right, for architecture, when they still used to give out gold medals in Olympics for architecture. It won the beautiful edifice there. Now, those who were bidding were 18 in number. Number one, the city of Detroit was bidding for it, the city. 17 corporations were bidding. One of the corporations wanted to build the Detroit Convention Center there and then extend with golf course, artificial lakes, serious plant. And then you have just finished building your own church and you have no money and God says you should go and buy that place. He said he just walked into the place and the priest saw him and said, Keith Butler. He said, yes, you are the man we are selling this to. You got it. He said, well, even after they said that, shame they have price. Then they said their price. He told them, I can't pay that. They said, how much can you pay? He said it. They said, then you buy it at that price. So God has his plan. Are you following what I'm saying? You've cooked up your own plan. God has his plan. All right? Can you imagine what I'm saying now? You've finished them. You just bought your house. Ah, we just bought this house. Ah, man. Then you start driving down. God says, this is the other. Ah, you say, what? Why didn't you tell me before we spent? All right. He says, maybe you use cash for this. You need to use faith for that. Let's see what Paul went on and said in Ephesians 3 here. He went on and said that you may, being rooted and grounded, so you get rooted in the love of God, you may be able to comprehend with all saints. So what am I saying to you? Next time you put your faith out for something, and it doesn't work the way you thought, you know what you should do? Go and hold a worship service by yourself, singing to God in some spiritual songs, hymns there, singing to him, telling him how much he loves you. Telling him how much he's, look, don't get angry. You know, that's what Satan was saying, and this is where people get offended and then the power stops working. This is what Satan was saying about Job. He said, God, he said what? He said, this Job that is jumping in church is because everything is going well. Let me take that next contract from him. You will see that he will curse you. God said, I know Job, he won't. He lost the next contract. Job came in moody to church. You get what I'm saying? Oh. Praise Jesus. And that's how he started attracting more demons to himself. If it goes wrong, go there and celebrate the love of Jesus. Tell him, I know how much you love me. There is something you have on your mind I'm not seeing. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is the root, all right, of our Christian faith. Not our love for God, but his love for us. Paul said, nothing can separate me. When I'm going through things, he said, I'm more than a conqueror through this. He said, then he went on and said in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. That word comprehend means to have a workable understanding. In other words, when you do this, you start understanding the ways of God, how the love works. So somebody else gets into a situation and they're angry, you say, hold it, just stay there. All right, this is how the love of God begins to be. He says that you might know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge and you may be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, that person is rejoicing and worshiping God for his love. What happens is he's filled with the fullness of God. Now, nothing has happened, but he's filled with the fullness of God. You meet this person who should be angry. He's filled with the fullness of God. You don't know how you should approach. You don't know what's going on, but he's filled with the fullness of God. What's coming out of him is God. He hears somebody else has a situation, is right there, seated with the person. That person is looking, didn't I hear that you just went through some crisis, but he's filled with the fullness of God. He's there helping the person, pouring out his soul. He's filled with the fullness of God. All right? Heard somebody say this. He said, even when Jesus was going for his greatest challenge, think about this. When he was going to face the cross, when he needed everybody's prayer, he still saw Peter's situation and prayed for Peter. He said, I have prayed for you. He wasn't just focusing on himself. You could see somebody filled with the fullness. You get filled with the fullness of God, which means that God, you are filled there. That's Christianity there. All right? You are filled with the fullness. Nobody knows anything. You are rejoicing. You are filled with the fullness. And then what is the next verse? Verse 20. It says, now, which means once you are filled with that fullness, now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you asked. Do you understand this? And what you thought, according to his power that is at work in you. So if you stay with that love, that means you went through something, you are rejoicing. All right? You got filled with the fullness of God there. Filled with the love of God. All right? You come to that point where God says, now, what we are going to do is going to be exceedingly abundantly above what you could have asked or thought by this power that is at work in you. There was a lady in this church, she got married to a pastor, so she went to this church. And I've told this story, she did get promoted in a cycle of promotion. And people get offended at this. They change their attitude towards God, change, you know, the way they behave, change how, you know, they worship, you know, and all of that. You know, I love what I was saying, you know, and say, begin to say that. And almost like, you know, well, you know, and all that. But she was going to resign. Her husband said, just hold it. And she stayed. Within months, the vice president of the corporation from France called and said, we just discovered oil. Now, will you be thinking about that when you are believing for promotion? That there's oil in Uganda. And we need somebody. Said, we don't want to send anybody from France. We need somebody from Africa. And there's nobody in Uganda that understands the legal field. Are you willing to come and work in Uganda and head our legal department? She went there. Said 2 weeks from that date, she was addressing the Senate of Uganda. And she turned back and said, if I got that promotion, I wouldn't have been in position. Are you following what I'm saying? At that point, she has experienced the love of God. She comprehends it. Next time she meets somebody and says, what happened? And then I got disappointed. She'll say, hold it. Hold it. God loves you more than this. Something is going to come out of this. Stay there. Keep worshiping and praising him. Stay there. Be rooted in that love. Be rooted in God's love towards you. Get rooted in it. Worship. Let the roots begin to go on the inside. Don't get offended. And you will see that the end of this is that God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can ask or anything you can think of according to his power. What happens to us most of the time is once something falls out, we say, well, it didn't work the way I felt it should work, and then we get offended at God. Isaiah 37 and 31 tells us this. And when men get offended, they just have an outward form, but inwardly, all right, it's something else. 37 and 31 here. And it says, Isaiah 37 and 31, it talks about the remnant. It says, and the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall again take root, what? Downward. And that's that root of God's law. And then bear fruit upward. That's what it says here. So, in order to be fruitful on the outside, the root inside your heart, listen, is not, all right, that God, you know how much I love you. But it's God, no matter what happens, I know you will never leave. And I know that you love me. And so I'm going to bask. I'm going to worship you in this love. All right? It seems like a disappointment now. But this is going to lead into something, all right, that has to do with your own plan, right, and your ultimate purpose for my life. And so we move from that place without offense. And we get into a place where we become filled with the fullness. We know the love of God, filled with the fullness of God. And then God does exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. But the root of our faith, if we don't get that and people start practicing things, once something doesn't go right, you just throw in the towel and start talking about what they did and how God did not, you know, respond to them in the way they felt he should have responded. Stay in there. Of all the disciples of Jesus, the one that stayed with him to the end in the cross matter was John. It was John that was there that said the other guys are taking off. Is the person that knows how much God loves him that will stay with God, all right, through thick and thin. That's the staying power, the compassion, all right, of God towards you as a person. When you begin to experience that love, you know what happens? When you experience the love of God, there is no way, all right, you will not give out, all right, God's love. So let me give an example here. If you experience, even if you are with a person who walks in the love of God, if you are just around that person, it will, you know, the Bible says we provoke one another to good works. It will provoke you, all right, to good works. You understand what I'm saying? It just provokes you to good works, all right? Not to come and talk about you experiencing the love of God as a person. When you experience the love of God, that's why it says we love because he first loved us. When people have an experience, and it's not talking about theoretical love. If it's a theoretical love, then you also will be loving on theoretical. If it's just that God said he loves me, God said he loves me. You haven't experienced it. You too will be saying I love you. You won't show it. But when you experience that love and you stay and God shows you the love there and you experience it in exceedingly abundantly above, what happens in your heart, all right, is that you come to a point where you know the ways of God. You understand God's ways, all right, that this is the way he, you know, this is God's ways now. We are in this thing. You are worshiping God through the entire thing. And things begin to evolve as you declare those things out of your lips. So, our faith will bring us to a place where the opportunity to experience the love of God. And then, as the Bible says, love, all right, will bring about. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love never, ever fails. It says, faith may fail, but love will never fail. It says, listen, if I have faith to move mountains, which means you are saying it, but that love is not there. And that love comes because you've experienced the love of God on the inside that fails not. And you know that God's love actually does not fail. When even you think that everything has scattered, God's love for you does not fail. You will come to know that love that passes all knowledge. I mean, I'm sure Kate Butler didn't know that that kind of place, property was there. So it means you didn't know. So you come to now know that passes, the love of God, all right, passes, all right, all forms of knowledge. And so let's bask in that love, right, when things happen in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.